I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to I'm Listening. This is a Frasier fan podcast hosted by number one Frasier fan, me, Anita Flores. And welcome to the third and final part of Frasier fans around the world. It's been a wild, wonderful ride. What can you expect from this final part? More lovely voicemails that Craniac sent in. I actually received one from Shane, a young Irish man living in Germany, and he actually sent in his voicemail right after part two came out. So fortunately, we were able to add him in to this episode in the nick of time. What's up, Shane? Also, more voicemails from around the U.S. We're also going to have interviews with Andy Allison, the Frasier fan who made an Excel sheet counting all the times Frasier wore robes. We've got Nikki DeTellis, who regales me with the times she met David Hyde Pierce and Kelsey Grammer. And for the final interview of this three-part series, last but not least, we have Armando Freguet from Oaxaca, Mexico. We met when I was on vacation back in October of 2019 in Mexico. I'm not going to give too much away, but I did interview him in Spanish. This is my first interview in Spanish. I was very nervous when we recorded it, and I'm still nervous now to have you hear me talking in Spanish, just because I'm not fluent and I'm learning the language and it's a work in progress. But I'm really proud of this interview and really happy we did it. Thank you to Jesse Karen for editing this entire three-part series, including layering my English translation over the original interview. English voiceover for Armando's part is provided by my lovely boyfriend. Thank you, John. I love you. Okay, let's get into part three.
My name's Shane. I'm originally from the west of Ireland, but now I live in Germany. I'm 27. And I play the piano. And I really love Frasier because it's not the only, but one of the very few shows that like make me laugh out loud like a maniac. I think the cast is amazing. The actors are so good. The storylines are fantastic. I think it addresses also social issues in a really great way that was ahead of its time for the 90s. It doesn't have much of a following in Germany, so I'm kind of alone in my fandom. But at home in Ireland, I know a couple of people who like it. My mom and brother also like Frasier while I'm here. That's actually the reason I found your podcast, because I wanted to have some connection to it and listen to people talk about it again. It's also not really possible to stream it here, so I had to. Well, first of all, I took the DVDs from the library, and they were all dubbed into German, and that wasn't really working for me. They changed a lot of the jokes, and the voices were pretty crap, so eventually I had to order the DVDs in English. I have so many favorite episodes that it's very difficult to pick just one. The ones that you talk about very frequently, like the ski lodge and Frasier's Halloween party, are obviously real favorites. I love the subplot where Niles is teaching Daphne and Roz to play the piano, because probably that's the one that connects most vividly to my life. I love all the episodes about that center around like opera and music, because I think the characters make really witty and funny jokes about opera, and how the plots of the episodes can kind of subtly reflect the plots of the operas, I think is very funny. When they reference famous classical musicians or opera singers, I also think it's really funny. And I always wondered how those kind of jokes are received by people who don't like that music or who aren't into that. Like when they make a joke about Renata Tebaldi or Philip Glass or, I don't know, Charles Ives, I always wondered, do people who don't like that just let that pass by, or do they look it up or what? So yeah, Out With That, where Marty has to pretend to be gay, I also think it's such a funny episode, how it's like referencing Rigoletto and how it's referencing how the ridiculousness of an opera plot is also reflected in how crazy and stupid the plots of Frasier are. But yeah, I also love the episodes with Anne Hodges from season 11, even though I think you might have mentioned them in quite a negative light on your show. I think she is so funny, and I could watch that 100 times and I still cry laughing every time. Anyway, thank you for listening. Alles Gute aus Deutschland, und ich hoffe, dass du noch weitere coole Folgen machst. Bis dann. Tschüss.
So we have another Craniac joining us today. Please welcome Nikki Diatelis to the podcast. Nikki, how'd I do on that name?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Really good.
So yes, I'm happy to happy that we could connect. So given this is an episode about Frasier fans around the world, where are you from?
New York City.
You're from New York City. And I take it you're still here in New York City.
I'm originally from Cleveland. Pardon me.
Oh.
I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but I live in New York City. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. And so how did you get into Frasier? Like, how did you become a fan? When did you start watching it?
When I was in college, Cheers came on every, was it Tuesday nights or Thursday nights, excuse me. And we would watch, the whole group of us in college, was 1982. And we loved the show. It was like this religion for us. And as soon as Frasier came into the picture, which was incredible, he was automatically my favorite character. He was just this buffoon who did these crazy things. And for being so smart, intelligent, he was so stupid at other things. He was just ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And I just loved that dynamic so much. And I couldn't get enough of it. So when they did the spinoff later on in 93, I was ecstatic because that character was its own entity, even on that show, Cheers. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up getting hooked. And I just had been a fan. So I had watched it once it started. I was living in San Francisco when it started its first season. So I was, you know, weekly. And back then, you know, you could record on VHS, but you know what a nightmare that was.
Of course.
So you just kind of had to wait every week. It was a whole different ball game. So that's how I became a big fan from through Cheers.
Now, I recognize I said, of course, when you're talking about VHS. Now, granted, I am 31, so I'm not going to pretend I have a lot of experience recording on VHS, but I do have one very particular memory of recording when I was in high school. I was a huge fan and still am of the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I didn't have cable, and it came in terribly with the antenna that my mom had, so I had my friend tape it for me on VHS, and you just hold on to VHSs. That's what's so, like, it was such a trial to not only record it, but then make sure you didn't tape over it, make sure you label
Correct.
It so no one tapes over it. So granted, it is my
Correct.
Only specific memory, but I, you know, I just wanted my listeners, if you are older than 31, not to scoff at me and think, she doesn't know about VHS. I have one specific memory. That is my memory of VHS. I don't miss the
it
VHS.
It was a nightmare. No, it's a nightmare. Yeah. But, you know, technology is now flawless and you can watch it anytime, anywhere, whenever you want, right?
That's right.
So that's the beauty of TV today. But speaking of that, you know, for my birthday in 2007, Jason surprised me with
Jason is
like
your
we had a little gathering.
Your boyfriend, just FYI,
my,
to
my
listeners.
Boyfriend, yeah, So after our party, you know, we had a dinner and then we went in to a friend's house and each one gave me a present and each person gave me a year of each for each year of Frasier.
Aww.
So year one was, you know, one person, year two was another person. So I ended up with the whole series on my birthday.
Wow.
From everyone. It was like, I know it's not a great, he made the effort to let everybody know to just, this is all they had to buy.
Wow.
And I was ecstatic. Yes. And I think I haven't even opened it because I've seen it so much. I haven't opened it because I'm able to watch it on, you know, Netflix or whatever. But I don't know if it's VHS or if it's discs. I'm assuming it's discs. To tell you the truth,
2007.
Even now,
I think it was probably discs.
It's discs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See, now this is I'm 56. So there you go. I wouldn't even have a clue. It just looks thick. So I assume.
You know,
so
I do. I will
anyway.
Say I miss. I do miss DVDs for the specific reason that, you know, even now I'm trying to be better at reading, and you know,
yeah.
For a time. When DVDs were a thing that didn't just take up space, like for me, it was like having a nice collection that people could see. And I do kind of miss that, even just going to at least people that I know now, not including my mom, who absolutely still has all of her VHSs and her DVDs. They're just like a nice conversation piece. And and maybe I might have to do this when Frasier leaves Netflix and I don't decide to pay for Peacock, which is NBC's new streaming platform that's going to carry Frasier. I think having a giant Frasier box set is a really nice way of showing people this is something I treasure and it's one of my favorite shows. Like my mom has probably my favorite. I miss when you could get whole trilogies or shows and they'd come in this like very, I think, extravagant packaging. My mom has my favorite thing I've seen of DVD collections. She has like 20 classic Alfred Hitchcock DVDs that all came in a box set. And the box itself is this like maroon velvet, and you sort of like, it almost, there's almost like a little door with a ribbon that you have to open. And when you open it, there's like, you know, 20 DVDs inside. Yes. And I just, I miss that kind of presentation. So I must ask you, because we had been emailing for a bit. You told me you have met David Hyde Pierce and Kelsey Grammer. So how did this happen? Yes. And what happened?
Well, I'm a trainer, and I used to work at Reebok. And so when I was exercising, you know, and working out one day, I'm like, God, that guy looks so familiar. And I noticed that, and this was on my own time. I was, you know, just taking a break. And you're not allowed to fraternize. You're not allowed to talk to people who are famous, like a giddy schoolgirl, you know what I mean? Unprofessional. So I had a friend who was, you know, also a trainer. So he goes over to the guy and he starts, you know, working out with that, you know, and I'm watching this whole thing from the back of, you know, the gym. I'm like, oh my God, James is his trainer. What? How did I miss this? I had no idea, because this place is huge. The Reebok is like six floors, but three of them are with weights and, you know, all sorts of equipment. So it's easy to miss stuff. Anyways, I was blown away by this. So I afterward went to James, who was the trainer, and I said, you need to introduce me to this man. I said, he's like one of my favorites. It's my favorite TV show, Fridge. You know, I explained.
Was this Kelsey?
Was hysterical laughing. No, this is for David Hyde.
Oh, this is David Hyde Pierce. Got it. And what year was
because
this?
Because he was doing, this is when he was doing Spamalot. It had to be like 2005 or 6.
Oh, wow. Okay. All
it was
right.
Early on. 2005, yeah, early David on Hyde for Pierce. Me, because I had, I had just moved here in 2004 at the time. So I was like fresh to this New York scene. So I'm like, okay, you have to introduce me. So it was nonchalant, you know, it's like real, like, pretend like it's by accident. So anyways, one day we set it up so that I would be, you know, near while he was doing some chest press thing. And then I went up and I was like, hey, what's up, James? How you doing? And so he's like, hey, Nick, how you doing? Oh, this is David. And then, of course, I'm like, oh, I lose it. And I'm like, I know who you are. You're David Hyde Pierce. I go, oh my God, I love your show. I lose it like a little schoolgirl, like you're not supposed to do. And he started laughing. And he was giddy, and he goes, of course, Frasier, right? And I said, I know you're in the show, Stella, but I'm so sorry. That's one of my favorites. You know, I'm like, blah, 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 embarrassing and myself. And he was so sweet and completely shy and really like understanding of the situation. Like, you know, how many times do you get to meet someone who you revere as an actor that, you know, that you've seen.
Of course. Yeah.
I call it being on the other side of the television, you know, as a child from Cleveland. This is a big deal to me.
Yeah.
So he was really sweet. And then after that, every time I saw him, he would say, hey, Nikki, how you doing? And he would just, you know, friendly talk. And and one time I went to the opening of Hamlet, actually, with Jude Law. And I was at the opening, and so was he. And he sees me, and he comes over. He goes, wow, you look so nice. He goes, it's nice to see you out of your workout clothes. And he gave me a peck on the cheek.
Oh,
and
my
of
God.
Course, I'm dying. I'm like, you know, I'm that person who's, I'm thinking, what's happening here? I'm being kissed by David Hyde Pierce. Are you kidding me? You know, of course, it was just natural and nice and normal. And he was sweet and like nothing. You know what I mean? He was just nice. He was just a decent human being talking to another human being. And that was it. He doesn't have an ego. Loved it.
That's lovely.
So that was my experience. Yeah. And he actually would, you know, come in for many years, and we had conversations regularly, just, you know, about this, that, and the other thing. And he has deep faith, and he's, you know, a wonderful person in general, because I got to know him a little bit. So yeah,
now,
really nice.
Super important follow-up question. When you got a peck on the cheek, could you, what did he smell like? Did you get you get a whiff?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Or a crazy question, you know, but I appreciate you saying interesting.
Yeah, no, there was no, I don't remember that because sometimes you're blinded by the situation. You forget everything around you or you're in shock a little bit. You know, it was just so much going on. It was an opening.
I bet he's not a cologne guy.
I don't remember.
I bet he's not. And I say that as a nice thing. I just picture, you know, because from everything, not that I have any experience because I have not met him, but you're probably maybe the third or fourth person I know that has had some sort of interaction. And everyone has said, you know, he's nice. He's, you know, a little shy. And I tend to just assume people with big egos are the ones that wear a lot of cologne. But, you know, that's just me speculating. And also going from my own experience living in New York. Well, that's that's lovely. And how did you meet Kelsey?
I have a friend who is in the theater. He is a musical director and writer. He does all sorts of things on Broadway. So he was the musical director for La Casa de Fall at the time. He had like two or three shows going at the same time. So he knew, because I went to go see it. I went to see Frasier, of course, being Kelsey Grammer, of course, on Broadway. And so he said afterward, he goes, "Do you want to meet him? I can take you backstage." And I almost fell over. I go, "What? What? Really?" So he says, "Yeah, come on." So we go backstage, and I'm just standing there, nervous Nelly, with Jason, of course. And he said, "You don't have to be nervous." And then he tells me a story about when he met Barry Manilow and how he felt the way that I was feeling. Of course, this is like not part of your generation, but.
Oh, my mom loves Barry Manilow, especially. So I'm familiar.
Okay, so I'm probably more like your mom age. Yeah, okay. So, yes, I'm sitting there sweating. And all of a sudden, he comes out and Todd goes up to him. And he says, "Hey, good job, blah, blah, blah." And then he says, I would like for you to meet a friend of mine. This is Nikki Diatellis. She's a big fan, and she just wanted to say hello and meet you. So he was so gentle and so sweet. He comes over and he says, "Well, hi, Nikki. It's lovely to meet you." And he shakes my hand and he's smiling. And I said, "It's really nice to meet you." And I'm a complete wreck. I said, "I'm such a huge fan. I don't even know what to say. I'm kind of, you know, tripping over my words. And I have to tell you, I said, I'm a huge fan of Frasier. I said, I still watch your shows. It's part of my routine in life." And he laughed. And anyways, he says, "Well, I'm so glad you came to see me on Broadway." And, you know, it was like that kind of exchange. And I said, "Thank you." And I squeaked and I turned around and I started crying.
Oh,
like blubbering. And Jason walks over, he goes, "Who are you and what did you do with Nikki?" We were hysterical laughing. I started laughing because he's a comedian, he's just funny. And so I go, "I don't know what's wrong with me." And he just now is making fun of me, of course. I go, "It's just overwhelming. I don't know why." It was a weird situation.
Well,
I don't know why.
I can tell you that I fully relate to that. Now, I haven't had any experiences meeting. I have not had any experiences meeting anyone from Frasier. However, when I was – all right. So just to give you a quick backstory, I growing up, really love watching the Olympics. I think it has to do with probably a lot of the packaging that journalists do about, you know, stories on athletes, and, you know, you get sucked into their four-year journey and are they going to win a medal? And one particular athlete that I grew a very large crush on was Apollo Ohno. He's a speed skater. When I was a teen, I was a huge fan. And then in 2010, I was an intern for the Colbert Report. In my second week, I found out that he was going to be on the show. Naturally,
oh my God,
I freaked out. And the day that he came, I had told the makeup artist there that I was a huge fan. And she, because she was going to be the person that had access to him for a pretty long period of time. So she was like, "All right, I'm going to find you something to do here so you'll be here when he's here. And so she just gave me a brush and just told me to start brushing all the wigs that were in the makeup room. So I was brushing wigs. And in retrospect, I have a feeling it was a very bad cover. And you could probably tell I had an ulterior motive. So I was brushing wigs. And then he popped his head in. And I was holding some very large, comically large wig with that had very curly hair, and he made a joke and he was like, is that for me? And I said, it's not. And then he left the room and I burst into tears, like fully burst into tears. Like I had to leave. I had to run upstairs because I was like, okay, I don't want to lose this internship because Apollo Ono sees me sobbing. So I went upstairs and I was supposed to get him some water. Somebody had told me, like, get him some water. And another intern came up and she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can't go back down there. And so she had to give him his water. But I have never, that's never happened to me before. And all I can think of is you think you have this, like, time in life where, or period in time, if you idolize somebody or you have a crush on them or you've been watching them on screen for how many years and suddenly they, like, break your bubble and like are just in it, it can be overwhelming. And that's why I think that I cried.
That's exactly right. It was overwhelming. Absolutely.
So,
and it's hard to explain to people unless they experienced it themselves.
That's right. Exactly. Well, now you know you're not alone. I'd like to think that if I ever have the chance to have any cast member from Frasier on, that I'm going to keep it together because it's been, you know, over 10 years since that incident. And I'd like to think I have a better poker face now if I'm going to meet somebody. But I guess we just have to find out if I ever am in the same room, especially with David Hyde Pierce. But on that note, I want to thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. And you'll definitely hit me up if you have any more run-ins with the cast of Frasier and or, you know, get any emails and then you could just pass them on to me and hopefully, you know, we can all be on the podcast together.
That would be amazing. But thank you so much for letting me tell some of my little stories.
Absolutely. Thank you.
My name is Aston and I live in Pasadena, California. I have watched the entire Frasier series from beginning to end 3 times. I was pretty young when it first started out on network TV, but I've caught it on Netflix 3 times beginning to end. Frankly, a lot of my friends and associates make a little fun of me because I am such a Frasier fan. Possibly because I'm an African-American woman and we're not totally represented on that show, except I love the time when Martin had an African-American girlfriend. I love Frasier because the ensemble cast is so outstanding and also because they follow such a great, it's statement, statement, joke. You're never left not laughing on the Frasier show. I've got to say that some of my favorite episodes were the ones that included Bebe, Frasier's agent. She is totally outstanding. I'm currently watching it on the Netflix streaming, and my absolute favorite episode, I think the one where Bebe tries to seduce Frasier into coming back under her wing, and he ends up going to meet her in her hotel room, and the whole thing is set up so beautifully, almost like a Dante's Inferno, with Bebe standing in the doorway of the steamy bathroom that looks like smoke from hell, and the neon sign flashing red outside of her window, and Frasier's eventual flee in terror, and the room number sign flips over, and you see that it's room 666. Gotta be one of my all-time favorites. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a great show. I'll be listening. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Best Fiends. Trying to relax after a long, busy day is so anxiety-provoking for me. So when I feel like I need a mental palate cleanser, my go-to refresher is the mobile puzzle game Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a 5-star rated mobile puzzle game on the Apple App Store and Google Play, and you can download it for free. While Best Fiends has challenging puzzles, it's a casual game anyone can play, but it's made for adults. I just made it to level 30 and only started last week. It's a great way to kill time without scrolling on Instagram until you hate yourself. It's a unique and exciting puzzle experience, unlike other puzzle games out there. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
So we're here with Andy Allison, who I discovered thanks to an email that Andy, you sent to sort of send me something that you created that I thought was super cool, which we'll get into in a second. But Andy, welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm delightful. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me. So listeners, I think I actually mentioned Andy's contribution to the Craniac world, that's what I'm calling it, this world of ours, of people that are Frasier fans. But what Andy created was a spreadsheet that also inspired me. I don't want to ruin anything, but let's just say, Andy, in a future episode of this podcast coming up later this season, I actually created a spreadsheet, not for the same thing that you did, but for something different. But essentially, Andy, you created a spreadsheet sort of cataloging every time that Frasier wore a robe. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, it's a strange element of the Frasier world that fans would recognize, that there's a preponderance of robes and appearances of robes in the series. Yes, so
there's a lot.
So we
of
did
robes.
Create a. There's a lot of robes.
Now, since this episode is Frasier fans around the world, I am curious if you feel comfortable saying, like, what part of, I think you are in the U.S. It sounds like you are. Where are you?
I'm a native of Western New York, the rural part, but I've been living in the Washington, D.C. area for about 20 years now.
21 years. Oh, wow. That's a long
2018? 20? Yeah. So I've been here for quite some time.
So, Andy, I believe earlier you mentioned to me before this call that you work at the Smithsonian?
That is correct. I work in the field of development, which I do prospect research. So researching individuals, corporations, foundations with an inclination to give to the Smithsonian. So it's a fascinating field. I've been doing it for about 20 years. I dig it.
Well, I think that Frasier, not that the Smithsonian, I believe, has never come up on the show Frasier, but I bet it's somewhere that he would go. The Smithsonian.
I think so he could too. Appreciate the world of museums in general, and he might like what we're doing. Yeah.
Now, in the original, when we had originally just been emailing, I believe you mentioned that your wife helped you with the spreadsheet. Is that correct?
That is correct. Tend to be the spreadsheet kind of guy myself, but as we were going through the show, she recommended, you know, maybe we should keep a log of these appearances of robes. So she was certainly an integral part of the process.
So she also is a Frasier fan, it sounds like.
She is. We have seen the entire season, the entire run of the show probably 3 times. And it was during the second run of the show that our viewing that we started noticing, you know, all these robes and started calling them out and saying, look at that, there's another robe. Hey, there's 2 robes in this episode. People are wearing 5 robes, and then there's an episode with 11 robes. So the next viewing, we started logging all of them individually.
Well, honestly, and I mean this, I I'm being genuine when I say this. I am an unmarried person, but I aspire to have a marriage like that. Truly. I mean, I have definitely tricked my boyfriend into watching Frasier because, as you know, I have a podcast about Frasier. So now, against his will, he knows more about Frasier than the average person because of me. But I wouldn't say he was willingly a fan. What I think is exciting for me as a person who isn't dating a craniac is that, you know, he's a TV fan and he loves, you know, he definitely loves to watch TV and there's certain shows that he really likes. But there are times when he will, you know, acknowledge like, wow, that's good writing. And I'm like, exactly. You get it. So it's exciting for me to feel like I have perhaps pulled somebody into the Frasier. The Frasierverse.
So what kind of, what is his favorite show? What would he consider to be his favorite that he's most well versed in?
Well, I think what's more a better answer to that than his actual favorite show, which is probably a drama on HBO. There's a few that could be the answer to that, but a show that he more recently is really into or was really into was a reality show called Love Island. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's a British reality show that involves young hot singles stuck on an island together. And obviously drama ensues. And he's not a person that watches reality TV. However, I did find similarly, I was like, why do you like the show? Because I'm not a huge reality TV person, though I will admit I did get a little bit sucked into Love Island season 3. I said, why do you like watching the show? He said, because it's so brainless, essentially. He was like, it's so relaxing to me. And though Frasier, I would not consider a brainless show, I would say it's a relaxing show for me to watch. So I said, now you get it a little, honey. You get it just a little bit where I'm coming from and why I like to watch this show all the time. Because it brings me some amount of, I don't know, it makes me feel calm and serene. That's me. But let me ask you, since I've just told you a lot about why I love Frasier. I know that the robe idea sort of came from, well, it sounds like you and your wife. But would you say in terms of sort of inspiration, is there even like I was talking to a different Frasier fan before you who was saying that for him, the pilot caught his attention because originally I hear this story all the time. And the same for me. I started watching Frasier with my parents when it was still on. And the person I talked to before had said how much he loved the pilot. So just as a Frasier fan, is there like a singular moment or season or episode that sort of kind of really brought you into the that made you a craniac? Like, is there anything in particular that's kind of inspiring about Frasier to you?
I don't know that there's a specific episode that I can point to or element of an episode. I think it's just that we caught a bunch of reruns when we still had cable many years ago in a row, and it just seemed to be a relaxing, peaceful, comforting show. There is a certain rhythm to Frasier that is unique to sitcoms, and watching dozens of them in a row is, you know, creates a sort of somnambulistic surreality that is enticing, and it's nice to disappear into the world of Frasier. You know what's coming. You can even though the laugh track is going nuts, sometimes you're not always just laughing. You're just watching and enjoying. Although there are certainly raucously funny parts of the show, like when Frasier gets ecstatic, that always makes me laugh. You know,
I like when he gets excited about fancy things. Like one of my favorite episodes is when he has a butler, one episode, and it's the guy who is the architect in Titanic, Victor Garber.
Who's a stage actor as well.
Yeah, he's great. He was so good in that episode too. I mean, to me, he was basically the architect from Titanic, except a butler. He had a similar sort of melancholy about him. Although in Frasier, there was somebody he like was in love with, and then he ends up leaving to go pursue this person, which I thought was nice.
Right.
But I have two very important questions for you. So number one, I feel like I know the answer to this, but do you feel like Frasier brought you and your wife closer together? Is that a fair question?
I suppose there's an element to it because we watched the majority of the show sitting on the couch together. you know, yeah. as I rub her feet, or we Aww. Just, you know, it's, I would say so, you know, just like Seinfeld. We're even bigger Seinfeld fans than Frasier, so we've seen that series numerous times. And, you know, it's become part of our lexicon. It's our language. It's part of what we share together. So there are now, many Frasier in-jokes that I guess we don't even pay attention to.
Sure. I mean, again, couples goals. You know, one of the things that I most recently, and Frasier listeners or I'm listening listeners, as I will get into there, I'm going to do an episode later on this season. I don't want to ruin it, but I am going to. Mm-hmm. talk about sort of anxiety and Frasier, because I definitely noticed that there is an overlap in people that like Frasier who are anxious people. And I'm going to throw myself into that group as well. But one thing that I find very relaxing now while watching Frasier or even any TV show, because I really do love TV, is I don't know if this counts as a hobby, but I have a lot of loose change that I have collected over the years, and it seems like a waste of money not to do something with it. So I got a bunch of those, like the things that you get at the bank where you can, you know, separate your change by nickel, penny, dime, and quarter. And I started
that's
separating change.
Activity.
Oh my God. Yeah. Had the time of my life. I am not kidding. It is so... so relaxing to do a menial task. I can only speak for myself, but I will say it's just sort of a nice way to focus your brain on one particular thing. So, Andy and
it's
other
a zen
listeners,
activity, yeah.
If you're looking for a nice, relaxing, kind of brainless task to do while you're watching Frasier or another show, I highly recommend Sorting Change. I highly do.
Count those 50 dimes, you count those 50 pennies, you get the nice even stacks of all the coins. I'm with you there.
So satisfying. But the other thing I wanted to ask you, because I know that for me, especially now that I have this podcast, I am constantly, as I rewatch episodes, not even on purpose, just noticing a lot of the same things. So as in, you noticed the robes, like I just noticed recently that there are multiple episodes that take place in a Winnebago. So what I'm curious about is, are there any other trends that you feel like might inspire you to make another Excel sheet in the future? Like, obviously, the robes is a huge thing. Is there anything else? If not, I might have some suggestions for you if I'm sort of putting you on the spot. But I was just curious.
No, that's all right. We, as I mentioned to you before, we started the tab that was the cabins, because there are 8 or 9 episodes with cabins, specific kinds of cabins. We thought about the idea of starting a tab for people, the times people reference, you know, Frasier Crane from the radio, because he seems to be this abnormally famous radio personality. I don't know any of our AM radio personalities in town, and I never did in any other town I was in. But somehow he has this swelling fan base, and people know Frasier Crane. So that was another thing. I don't know what would inspire us to start another spreadsheet, because it's enjoyable. It's a fun activity, but it's nice when it's done, you know?
Sure. Of course. Completing a task and feels good.
It's completing a task. And you could do that with virtually any show. As we're watching Seinfeld again, we're noticing that there are a lot of redheaded women in the cast. For some reason, it's super common in Seinfeld for a lot of the extras and a lot of his girlfriends and a lot of the cast to be redheaded women. Seinfeld fans probably know that. That's not something most people would pay attention to, but since we're on our, you know, 10th run through the show, that's just something that pops up. But that said, I try not to make too much of a project out of it, because I still want to enjoy what we're doing.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah.
My job is all projects, so...
Yeah.
The road project was enjoyable, and I can't say that's the last one, but something else will pique our interest.
Right.
Well, I'm anxious to see what you've come up with, too.
Uh-huh. Well, Andy, thank you so much for joining me today. I know that I hope that other people are inspired by, honestly, for me, as much as I love the spreadsheet that you made, I love to hear about a good marriage. I fully mean that. And it makes me very happy to know that you and your wife collaborated on this together, and that you rub her feet sometimes, because you know what? That's something that I hope everyone gets out of a good marriage, a nice foot rub. If I ever get married, I aspire to get some nice foot rubs from my future husband. So anyway.
I'm glad I could bring you some semblance of inspiration for the future, yes. Though there is a brutal frivolity to all of this spreadsheet nonsense, I suppose that it has played a nice role in keeping our marriage rolling along.
I love it. I love it.
My name is Shannon. I'm from West Virginia. I like Frasier because the chemistry with the cast was funny. And I ended up watching Frasier on Hallmark with reruns and then ended up streaming them to get more of the experience. My favorite episode of Frasier, to have to say, was Mamma Mia, because Frasier dating an exact replica of his mom was hilarious, because everybody else saw it but him. And the way he freaked out was hilarious. And just when they were having dinner at Martin's birthday party, kind of made me smile, because it was almost like just like old times with the kids being adults.
Bienvenido a mi podcast. I'm listening.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm listening. In Spanish, it's called Estoy Escuchando.
Cada episodio tengo un huésped especial.
Each episode I invite a special guest, and today is no exception.
Hoy aquí una artista.
Today here with me is an artist, a visual artist, and my friend, Armando Freguet, is here. Armando, how are you?
Armando, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, muchas gracias.
Very well, thanks so much.
Muy especial.
This is very special. Armando is here today because I was on vacation in Oaxaca in October.
Armando tiene una galería de
And Armando has a gallery of his art and art in Oaxaca.
Estaba en su galería, Armando estaba diciendo que él tiene una noche cada semana para películas de terror.
When I was at his gallery, Armando was telling me that he hosts a weekly horror film night. So I was at this party to watch the film.
La película y después estábamos en un bar y
afterwards, we were at a bar, and I asked Armando, oh, do you like Frasier? Because it's my favorite show in the world.
Es mi programa más favorita en el mundo. Entonces, ahora, Armando.
And so now, Armando is here.
Aquí. Armando, dime su historia con Frasier.
Armando, tell me about your history with Frasier. When did you start watching the show?
Bueno, lo empecé a ver durante mi...
Well, I started, let's see, when I lived in Mexico City, where I grew up. It was while I was in college, when I came back from college in the evening. After making my way across the city, I just turned on the TV and there was Frasier.
De pronto prendí la televisión y ahí estaba Frasier. Me empezó a gustar.
I like the sense of humor and I ended up watching the entire episode. After that, I got hooked on the show.
Ya atrapado con el programa. Y cada noche,
every night, for me, it was important to come home and watch the show to enjoy
it. Y ver el programa, ¿no? Disfrutarlo.
Interesting.
When I came home from school, the show played in the evening, and I started to watch an episode.
Yo empecé a ver algún capítulo,
and after watching the first episode, I was hooked. And I liked it so much that, well, it was too hard to come home and not watch the following episode of Frasier.
El siguiente capítulo de Frasier. O sea, para mí era muy importante.
I mean, for me, it was very important because it meant that all the work I had to do during the day, well, this show made me feel...
Este programa me hacía sentir...
It alleviated all the stress I felt during the day. It calmed me down.
El día me tranquilizaba, me hacía reír.
It made me laugh. It made me enjoy all the characters.
Todos los personajes. Entonces, fue ahí cuando
so that was the moment I became a fan of the show.
Del programa.
Okay. Interesante.
Okay. Interesting.
Y, ¿quién es su
personaje? Who's your favorite character on Frasier?
Frasier.
Well, I think we already talked a little bit about this. For me, Eddie was and still is my favorite character of all.
Favoritos. De todos, de todos ellos, ¿no? Claro, después de eso,
of course, beyond him, Frasier and all of the relationships he has, that in a way is what makes everything happen.
Su relación que tiene, que es como el, de alguna manera, el que hace que todo esto pase. De, que los
brings together the rest of the characters, right? ¿No?
Sí, sí.
Yes, yes. And there were two actors who played Eddie. Did you know that? There were two dogs. Eddie.
¿Conoces? Era dos perros.
Sí, algo me habías comentado antes.
Yes, yes. I remember you mentioning something about that before. No, I didn't realize there were two of them. I thought it was one throughout the entire series.
Sí, era Moose.
Oh, yes, it was. Moose is the first dog's name. Moose.
El segundo se llamó Enzo.
And the second one is named Enzo. And Enzo is Moose's son.
El hijo de Moose.
Ah, de verdad.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They looked identical.
Ahora miras Frasier en televisión en México.
And now do you watch Frasier on TV in Mexico? Or what's on TV right now? Or do you watch it on the computer, online?
Su computadora, en el internet.
Sí, yo, bueno, es muy difícil encontrar capítulos en el internet.
Yes, well, it's very difficult to find episodes of Frasier online.
Los DVDs de la serie y...
But I bought the DVDs of the series, and every now and then it's a show that I have to watch, even if it's just one season once a year.
Una temporada, una vez al año. Eso me ayuda mucho, me gusta mucho.
It helps me a lot. I like it a lot, especially because every time I watch it, I notice new things or I laugh just the same.
Ah, okay. También hay otras programas de comedia.
And are there other American comedy shows that you like as well?
También te gusta.
Hay muchos programas que me gustan.
Yes, yes. Well, I like a lot of shows. I think we talked about the fact that I really like the TV series Murphy Brown.
La serie de televisión de Murphy Brown.
Ah, sí, Murphy Brown.
Era muy importante también porque...
It was also really important to me because, well, I liked how they handled the topic, how they dealt with it, and had jokes for everyone. Like, you understood from... There was some a little bit of visual comedy, but there's also a lot of comedy that was more complex, right? So I liked that a lot. I also like Seinfeld.
Comedia muy, como más, más compleja, ¿no? Entonces, ese me gustaba mucho también. Me gusta Seinfeld.
Ah, sí, yo también.
Ah, yes, me too.
Sí, entonces...
Yes, well, that's it for now. Sometimes I rewatch these shows, right, when I can.
Cuando puedo.
Sí. ¿Y conoces otras personas en Oaxaca o en otras partes de México?
And do you know other people in Oaxaca or in other parts of Mexico who like Frasier?
Bueno, realmente no conozco muchas personas.
Honestly, I don't know many people. Right now, I have a friend who I've loaned her the DVDs. She's become a fan, little by little, as she watches it. She didn't know it before, but now she likes it. She's from here, from Oaxaca.
En México conocí algunas personas, pero
so I, she's the only person that shares my taste in that show. In Mexico, I met some people, but well, the thing is that I lived in a bit of a suburban area and I didn't leave the house much. So this was a way to enjoy being holed up inside.
Ah, sí, sí. ¿Y te gusta mirar televisión cerca de en la noche cuando?
And do you like to watch TV close to at night before going to sleep? Because I like watching Frasier and then going to sleep.
Dormir, porque para mí es una programa que es, no sé la palabra, es no es.
For me, it's a show that's, I don't know the word. It's not a crazy program. It's not too shy. No, I'm searching for the right word. It's a very calm program.
Buscando para... La palabra es una programa muy calma.
Ajá, sí, sí, que te, sí.
Ajá, yes, I think I understand what you mean, like comforting.
Okay, sí,
calma. Okay, yes, comforting.
Como algún programa con el es como cuando vas a dormir.
Comforting is what could be like a show which it's like before going to sleep. For me, it's like having a hot chocolate with some bread.
Okay, entonces para ti
Oh, okay. So for you, it's hot chocolate and bread, and my hot chocolate with bread is Frasier.
Exactly.
Entonces, Armando, gracias para este entrevista.
So, Armando, thank you for this interview, and enjoy Frasier, and thank you so much.
Muchas gracias.
No, gracias a ti, Anita.
Now, thank you, Anita. As I mentioned, this is my first interview of its kind, and it's important. I've never been interviewed like this, so thanks. Thanks. This is really cool, because I also remember a lot of the dynamics of the series. Let's put it that way.
Esto está padre porque te recuerda mucho también la manera en la que la dinámica de la serie, pues. Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much, Anita, for the invitation.
Sí, y felicidades en tu...
And yeah, congratulations on your first podcast.
Gracias.
Sí.
My name's Anya. I'm from Boston. And I like Frasier because, oh God, this is horrifying, but I kind of find Frasier to be, like, relatable in his flaws. Like, he's super obsessed with, like, self-image and, like, very cultural signifiers that are kind of shallow. And also, I was, like, a psych major and would love to be a therapist someday. But I guess that's, like, a whole other thing. But I also find it to be distant in situation, which is pleasant. My cousin recommended the show to me, and my boyfriend also watches it. So I have plenty of company in that regard. I watch it on Netflix. And despite it having some creepy undertones nowadays, I really do like the Daphne and Niles romance. So I haven't finished the show yet, but my favorite episode is Moondance. Thank you so much. I love listening, and have a great day.
Oh my gosh, we made it to the end. Shout out to my voicemail people. Ashton, yes, I love every BB episode. Shannon, yes, I love the Mamma Mia episode, especially that part at the end where Frasier sees Rita Wilson naked and he contorts his face into a way that I've never seen anyone open their mouth so wide. So iconic Frasier Crane moment. Anya, I was also a psych major, a failed psych major, but I still consider it an accomplishment. And I love Moondance. I truly rewatched it last night. Thank you to Nikki, Andy, Joe, Patrick, Roxana, Armando, and Tom for letting me interview you. Thank you to everyone who listens to this podcast. To the Craniacs, I love you. Thank you to the More Banana Podcast Network for your support, especially Caitlin Moldenhauer, my producer, my rock, for another wonderful season. Season 3. Can't believe it's coming to an end. I'm taking a break from this podcast to work on some other things, including another podcast. So stay tuned for those details and follow my journey through my Twitter and Instagram at Anita Jutina. That's AnitaJutina. So what do you want to hear me talk about in future episodes of I'm Listening? What guests could I have on? What celebrities love Frasier that I don't know about? Also, do you want me to do a live recording of the I'm Listening podcast in your city? I'm open to suggestions. So tweet me everything. Tweet me all your suggestions at Anita Jutina. Let's stay in touch on social and stay tuned for I'm Listening updates. Until next time, good night, Seattle.